I'd like you to turn with me today to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, there's been a passage of Scripture that's been ringing in my ears for weeks. I really feel like the Lord wanted me to address this particular subject, so we're going to do that today. We'll see how far we get. But my message is from Ephesians chapter 6 and beginning in verse 10, where the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and says, as he begins to conclude his address to them, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." I want to look at these verses a little bit, but our main focus is going to be on his initial address here, beginning in verse 10, where he says, "My brethren, finally, or in conclusion, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I want to talk about that this morning, particularly, being strong in the Lord, being strong in the Lord. I do believe that it is a great and grave need in this late hour to be strong in the Lord. Many, many Christians never grow strong in the Lord.
You're right.
Many never do. In spite of the fact that they've been Christians a long time, they never really grow strong. There are, I think, many forces at work in the world and even in the church in America that actually make it difficult for Christians to grow strong in the Lord. And that for a variety of reasons. Because the emphasis, for the most part, let me just say the emphasis in many spheres is not really to encourage growing strong in the Lord, but rather simply to multiply the numbers of the church or the finances of the church. But the address, to address the Christian and to establish them in the Word whereby they can grow strong is not so much an emphasis today. I believe it's part of the reason why the body of Christ at large, in general, and while I hate to make general assumptions or declarations, the fact remains true that for the most part, Christians are weak. They are weak. Weak not only in their grasp of Scripture, weak in their knowledge of what the Bible teaches, weak in basic biblical understanding, but weak spiritually, weak morally, weak morally, so that the morals of many Christians isn't really much above that, if any, above that of the world at large. Many are weak ethically, so that if something happened like what happened to Jason and Ashley this week, you're walking out of the store and there's somebody's purse sitting there, nobody around, there's a purse, they would say, "Praise God." The Lord has blessed me with everything that's in that purse. It's not yours. But you know, you have to wonder sometimes how people think, and how can they be Christians and get warped ideas like that? How is it that they can be Christians and think it's okay to cohabit with their boyfriend and girlfriend?
Amen. 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 You're right.
Amen. How is it that they can be Christians and still don't see that there's a contradiction between being a disciple of Christ and a drug smoker? Be strong in the Lord. That's the exhortation. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, this is a very well-known passage of Scripture. I think it's one of the best-known passages, really, in the Bible. Many people can cite at least parts of this passage. It actually brings out several very vital truths, things such as the fact that you and I are at war. We're a Christian and we're at war. This is what he says. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We do wrestle against principalities and powers. We're at war here. The world is definitely not our playground for us to romp and play and indulge in and enjoy all of its delicacies. I'm talking about the dainties of sin, the enticements of compromise with the world. The world's not our playground. We have to remember that you and I, we're foreigners and pilgrims here, strangers here. This is our battleground.
Amen.
Battleground. And life itself can be a battle. I mean, each day it can be a battle. A battle to overcome. Overcome this flesh right here. This self right here, this mouth right here, this attitude right here, just so that I glorify the Lord and honor the Lord in my words, in my actions, in my behavior, in my attitude towards others. It's so easy to adopt the wrong attitude. It's so easy to reflect the wrong thing instead of reflecting Christ. You know, chip on your shoulder, or snarl on your mouth, or people ask you a question, you want to bite their head off.
Amen.
And they say, yeah, well, bless you too, brother. We are at war. We really are. We have to realize this is war. Yeah. This is not a game. This is not pretend. When you were a child, when you were a kid, I know we used to like to play army or play cowboys and Indians. Ooh, you pretend you're a cowboy. I'll pretend I'm the Indian. You pretend you shoot me. Ah, pretend I'm shot. I pretend I shoot you. This is not pretend. This is real battle, real war, real injuries.
Yes.
Real injuries. People genuinely get injured in these spiritual battles and conflicts. Unfortunately, many get injured even in the church.
Yeah.
But it's possible to be injured in your own home.
Yeah.
And you could be injured by those that you love.
Yeah. That's right.
It's possible to be injured in the workplace or to injure others. Possible to be injured even in church. The Lord speaks about this frequently. You bite and devour one another. Where do these wars and fightings come from? Among you? How can this be in the body of Christ? Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. We are at war, beloved. And when he tells us in these passages that we have to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's make no mistake, the devil is not imaginary.
Amen.
It's a very real adversary. A very real adversary. And a very powerful adversary. So, we're at war. And eternity is at stake. But here's another great truth that's proclaimed clearly in this passage, and that is the war that we fight is not against people.
Amen.
Let's remember that. Verse 12 makes that very clear. It's not a war against people. You do not wrestle or fight against flesh and blood. That is, you don't fight against people. The Christian's battle is not really against people. Sometimes it seems like it's against people. It might seem like it's against a particular individual, or they may seem like they're against you, but really, ultimately, our battle is not against another person,
right,
no matter how diabolical they may seem to be. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle, we do fight against, notice what he says, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in high places. This is a spiritual battle.
Amen.
And it is a battle. And there are powerful spiritual entities at work in every area of sin and darkness in the world. There are powerful spiritual entities at work in our world. And they do what they do very well. They seduce, they deceive, they twist and distort, and they, of course, they use people. They use people. Our goal is not to let them use us. Because, you know, while the Lord wants to use us, he wants to use each and every one of us, the devil will use you as well.
Yeah.
He'll use you to do his handiwork. He throws out those fiery darts, you know, those suggestions to your mind. You should hate that person. Think about what they did to you. You should take offense at that. How dare they speak that way to you? They sure were ungrateful for all you did for them. The devil can suggest all these things. They are fiery darts, you know. They fire into our mind, and if we are not careful, we don't watch who we listen to or what voice we hear. We pick up an attitude.
You're right.
Pick up an attitude towards each other. Pick up an attitude towards your spouse, towards your children, children towards parents, family member towards family member, you know, brother towards sister, and so on. You've got some big attitude you're carrying around, and the other person don't even know why. We don't war against people. We war against a spiritual entity that is engaged in plotting your demise, your destruction, your defeat. That's what the devil's out to do, to defeat you as a believer, to discourage you, to get you disgusted with the Lord, disgusted with each other. Amen, Brother Rusty. Therefore, our weapons must be of a spiritual nature. Now, if you're not warring against people, if you're warring not against flesh and blood, but you're warring against a spiritual foe, spiritual entities, then obviously that shotgun's not going to do you any good.
Right. Amen.
True.
There are times that I wish it would.
Yeah.
You know, there are times I'd like to go fishing and the winds won't let me. Wouldn't it be good if I could go out there and shoot the wind and it would just die down and I could go fishing? But you know what I've discovered? That won't work. You can shoot at it, yell at it, threaten it. It doesn't do any good. You know, the same thing is true when, by the way, wind, pneuma in the Bible, that's the Greek, is the same word that's translated spirit, pneuma. The spirits that we fight against, demonic entities, that would be like trying to shoot the wind. To shoot them with a shotgun. No, our weapons have to be spiritual, of a spiritual nature. And that's exactly what he talks about right here in this passage. A spiritual weapon to defeat a spiritual foe. And that's what I would like for us to look at this morning, this set of instructions. We could call them battlefield instructions, if you like. Maybe even a checklist. Kind of a checklist. You ever find that you need a checklist?
Yes.
You know, just to make sure you do the things you're supposed to do, to be ready, to be prepared, to be equipped.
Amen.
You know, I can remember many a time, even as a young person, I'd like to haul a boat out and go fishing. That's just one of the things I've enjoyed doing all my life. But you know, if I didn't have a checklist, let me tell you some of the stupid things I've done. Forgot to put the plug in the boat. Now you see, every boat has a little drain plug in the back. You unscrew it to let water out when the boat's on the trailer. That way if it rains in it or whatever, it all goes right through, comes out. But before you put the boat in the water, you have to screw that drain plug back in. Or else the water has immediate access and suddenly you find yourself standing ankle deep in water and you wonder why. Well, you know, a checklist helps. Put plug in boat. That, you know, that's important. I found out the hard way more than once that you should have a checklist. Another important thing that should be on a checklist, I got down one time, got all the way to the marina. I'm ready to launch. I don't have any keys to the boat. They're all back home on my dresser. So that should be on the bring keys. There have been other times I've gone out, did not have a rod and reel, did not have, you know, checklist. It's important. But you got it all. Yeah.
That was a long time.
That was a long time. Well, right here in this passage, Paul gives us a checklist. Christian, you're going to war. You're in a battle every day of your life. We want to make sure we have everything here that we're supposed to have. Make sure we have all the necessary armor, all the necessary equipment. You know, he talks here about the belt of truth. Have your loins girded about with truth. That's a belt. The belt kind of keeps everything together. It's nice to have a sword, but where do you put it? It's got to go on that belt. You know, there's a little sheath there connected to your belt. And every other thing, every other tool, it goes on the belt. Plus, they hold your pants up. That's always nice, too. But the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Every part of it is important. Every part of it is necessary.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And if we're going to be strong in the Lord, which is the call here, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. If we're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, then obviously we're going to need everything that the Bible says we should have here. If we're going to be as well equipped and as prepared as possible to win the battle, to overcome the day, to fight the good fight of faith, you certainly can't rely on your own strength, your own wisdom, your own talent and abilities. But in the Lord, we rely on the Lord. He's the one who enables us and empowers us. Be strong in the Lord. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Even when we feel like we are weak and unable, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're not fighting in our own might or power or determination, but we're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Amen.
Here this year, just this year, they had the annual strongman competition in China. And it was won by a fellow by the name of Brian Shaw. If you ever get a chance to look this guy up, he is a massive mountain of a man. He won strongest man in the world. You want to guess how much this guy deadlifts? I mean, you know people who can pick up 200, 300, 400 pounds. This guy won the strongest man in the world competition. He deadlifts 975 pounds. 975 pounds. You can click on his name. You can watch him on YouTube do it. Incredible. Just the things some of these guys do. They'll put themselves in a harness and pull a 747. Or a tractor trailer. These guys pick up logs. They'll pick up horses with a rider on it. It's unbelievable the things that some of these people are capable of. But you know, you can be mighty and strong physically and be weak spiritually.
Amen.
It's possible to be able to pull an 18-wheeler with your powerful muscles, but not be able to overcome a flea in the spirit.
Amen.
Our call is to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. In human history, nobody has ever been stronger physically than Samson.
Amen.
The guy who could kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. God who could rip off the gates of Gaza and carry them up a mountain and put them on top of a hill 9 miles away.
Amen.
Who's stronger than Samson? Physically. I mean, physically a powerful man, but weak in the Lord. Weak in the Lord.
Right.
He couldn't overcome a woman's temptations, the seductions of a woman. How many Christians have fallen because they couldn't overcome similar temptations? Another man's wife, another woman's husband. They might seem like they're powerful people, even powerful preachers. But you know, it's possible. It's possible, just like your physical body can grow weak and weary and be susceptible to sickness and disease. You know, it's possible spiritually also to grow weak.
Right.
It's possible to grow weak spiritually.
Amen.
If you don't eat right, take relatively decent care of your body, it's possible your immune system weakens, you become susceptible to whatever germs are blowing around. You know, it's possible to be physically weak. It's possible to be spiritually weak. Similarly, if we're not exercising our spiritual exercises, what do you think would be important to stay healthy spiritually? Absolutely. You need to get in the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to be strong in the Lord, and the power of His might, to be fed up, nourished in the Word of God. The Bible tells us to do that repeatedly. Prayer, absolutely. Prayer is essential for our spiritual well-being, for our spiritual strength, for our spiritual health. What about even attending church fellowship, being a part of that, being a part of the body? Being encouraged, being in an atmosphere of faith. It's where we get our batteries charged. We live in a society that more and more is finding that church is, you know, it's just not important.
That's right.
That's the attitude of many. And unfortunately, that attitude creeps even into Christian circles where people think, well, you know, I'm the church. And after all, wherever I am, you know, that's I'm the church. So, the truth is, no one individual is the church.
Amen.
I'm not the church.
No.
And no individual here is the
no.
church. But you know, when we gather, that's the church.
Amen.
This building's not the church.
No.
I mean, we call it the church because it's where we gather.
Right.
But we know that no building is the church.
Amen.
The church is us, assembled. Us assembled.
Amen.
That's the church. And you know, part of God's plan was the church for the believer. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it.
Amen.
So we want to be a part of the Lord's body, the Lord's church. We want to assemble when the church assembles. It's important.
Amen.
Because we gain strength. We gain courage.
Right.
We gain knowledge. We get exhorted.
Right.
We may get rebuked. We may get corrected. You know, we pick up notions that may be wrong, and you hear the Word of God declared, and you realize, you know what? My notions have to get in line with God's commandments,
right.
God's Word, God's directions, the great principles of eternity.
Amen.
It's true. For all of Samson's strength, he was a very weak man. He was a very weak man. All of his power and might. He never could overcome the temptation of some little thing sashaying in front of him.
Amen.
You know, it brought about his ruin. He was a man with incredible strength. No man on earth was ever stronger than Samson.
Amen.
Can you imagine the power of good that resided, the power for good that resided in him? Could have been a liberator for all of Israel, but he couldn't even liberate himself.
Amen.
As it is, he couldn't liberate himself. And you know one of the problems with Samson? One day we'll deal with that in a little bit more detail. But Samson never knew how to be a part of anything. He was always a Lone Ranger.
That's right.
Always, his whole life. He never could be a part. Never could assemble. Never could be a team player. Amen. He was always a Lone Ranger, doing his own thing, going his own way. I'm Samson. I can do what I want.
That's right.
And it ruined him. It really ruined him. None of us can be the Lone Ranger of Christianity.
Right.
We really do need each other and draw strength and encouragement from each other.
Amen.
I'm encouraged by you guys. I hope we encourage one another. It's essential. It's important. I feel like it, you know, I'm a pretty strong Christian, but I can tell you right now that I could not afford to be outside of the Christian assembly.
Oh, amen.
I couldn't afford it. Erosion happens too quickly.
Right.
Spiritual erosion happens too quickly. It doesn't take long. Now, it doesn't happen overnight, but it doesn't take long. I mean, it doesn't take long at all. Erosion, spiritual erosion occurs quickly. The first thing will happen, you get outside of the body, becoming the Lone Ranger Christian. You know, maybe you didn't like somebody in the church. Maybe somebody said something offensive. Maybe you didn't like something Brother Rusty said. That's liable to happen from time to time. I don't like some of the things I say either. But if you neglect the body, you'll soon be neglecting prayer.
Amen.
Then you'll be neglecting the word.
Amen.
Your spiritual life will decay rapidly. It'll go downhill really fast. The next thing you know, you're living the way you used to live before you even came to Christ. You're doing things and excusing things.
Yeah, you're right.
Excusing them. Justifying them. Because after all them people in church, they all a bunch of hypocrites. What about somebody like Solomon? Now, here's a guy who had strength of a different kind. He didn't have the muscles, you know, the physical muscles, but he had mental muscles. Solomon was wise. The Bible gave him a gift of supernatural wisdom. God says he gave him a gift, this gift of supernatural wisdom, so that he was sharp. And yet, for all of that, he couldn't resist a little thing sashaying in front of him either.
That's right.
I mean, it was Samson's downfall, and it was Solomon's downfall. Now, you would think all of that wisdom, he too was not strong in the Lord.
Amen.
Strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord.
Amen.
Even David.
David,
who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart, was drawn aside by sexual attraction and fell, knocked down, but not knocked out. He did repent. But there's a lesson there for you and for me, that it's possible even for God's choice servants to grow careless. You can grow careless. You can neglect. You know this, you can't neglect your spiritual temple.
You're right.
One of the things you discover if you're a homeowner is that these houses require constant maintenance.
Amen.
There's always something that has to be done. Wood, if you don't keep that painted, it's going to rot quick. Now, it won't rot overnight, but boy, it'll rot quick if you just don't maintain it.
Amen.
You know, the same thing is true spiritually, that we have to keep ourselves immersed in the Word, in fellowship, men and women of prayer, because spiritual rot sets in very quick, and it takes a terrible toll. I mean, it is a gradual process, no doubt about it, but it's like rot on wood. It'll decay really quick. really quick. Many Christians have fallen victim to spiritual rot, spiritual decay, because they neglect the Word of God, prayer, fellowship of the saints. How can you be strong in the Lord when you neglect all the things that make you strong? And if our adversary is spiritual, if it's a spiritual entity that we battle, then we have to be spiritually strong. The fact that you exercise and eat right is all well and good. But if you're not spiritually exercised in the word and prayer and faithfulness and so on, then you are no match for the spiritual adversary who will eat your lunch. There have been many people who have fallen because they were not strong in the Lord when the trials came or when the trials lingered. Sometimes Christians get the crazy notion that they shouldn't go through trials at all, that they should be exempt somehow. Because after all, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I read the Bible. Therefore, no bad things should ever happen to me. And if they do, then something's wrong with this Christianity. It's not working. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. It is through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says. At Thessalonians, he says we're even appointed to tribulation. Doesn't that make you happy? You know, the devil tempted, actually, he challenged God. The devil challenged God on this very thing. He said, you know, if you let me touch Job, let me take his stuff, let me bring him grief, let me cause him pain, and Job will deny you. Now, you challenge God like that, you got to be pretty bold. Amen. He challenged God, let me touch his stuff. And he'll deny you. Now, how do you think he could make a challenge like that unless he had long experience in knowing that this would bring that result? If I do this, it'll bring that result. If I touch his stuff, let him lose his stuff, he'll curse God. Because stuff's pretty important, you know?
No, you're treating it all as that.
Or if I bring him grief, the loss of loved ones. How many people have turned their back on the Lord because of grief that they experienced in their lives? There was someone that we loved very dearly who lost a child and turned their back on the Lord and for 20 years would not go to church. Thankfully, the grace of God brought them around.
Amen.
So that nowadays their eyes are opened and they serve the Lord with their whole heart again.
Right.
But oh, I remember that. I remember that very, very well. Grief.
Yep.
Look, this is the devil challenging God. Let me bring them grief and they will deny you. Let me cause them personal pain. Let me afflict them, and they will deny you. Because the devil knows these tactics work.
You're right.
There's nobody on earth as wise and wily as he. With his trickery, his chicanery, his deceptions and strategies and deceits. Let me give them grief, they'll deny you. Let me destroy their home. Let me just turn their husband against them, their wife against them, their child against them. Let me give them pain. How many Christians? How many? The Lord himself talks about those who hear the word of God and full of joy, they embrace it. They serve the Lord. But, parable of the sower, but when the sun ariseth and the heat scorches, When the trials come and when the trials linger, the Bible says, because they had no root, by and by they are offended. By and by they give up, they quit. Why? Because the trials came, because the trials hung around. You see, they had no root. That is, they were not strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. Maybe they thought their strength was in themselves. Or maybe they had these wrong notions that if I pray, everything immediately gets better all at one time. And I'll close my eyes and pray. When I open my eyes, I'm going to be well. Situation has changed. Like God is Santa in the sky, you know, he's going to bring you gifts, put them under the tree or whatever. Because they had no root, this is what the Lord himself said, because they had no root, when the sun came up, now that represents the heat of trial, and it scorched them, and they had no root, no depth, they withered. Be strong in the Lord. That's the call. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's possible to be physically strong and yet spiritually weak. It's possible to be mentally sharp and yet be spiritually weak. It's possible to be strong-willed and yet be spiritually weak. There's a lot of ways people can be strong in themselves and yet be spiritually weak. I mean, there's a lot of strong people in the world. They can do some amazing feats of physical endurance. They go swim across the lake or ride a bike for 25 miles or run a marathon. I mean, there's some strong people. You see people who play basketball running up and down. You know, that's a very demanding physical exercise. Or these football players, they're strong. But it's possible to be all of that and be weak, weak spiritually. Your call and mine. It'd be pretty cool if I could deadlift 975 pounds. But most important is that I'm strong in the Lord. So that when the trials and troubles and temptations and afflictions come, when the winds blow adversely, we are strong in the Lord. We are not depending on ourselves, our own strength, and our ability to figure things out. The first question many ask when they start going through this thing, why? Why? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? I never did think it was important to know why.
Right.
Unless maybe you brought it upon yourself, because sometimes we shoot our own self in the foot, you know.
Yeah.
And by our own sinful activity, we bring grief upon ourselves. Could be chastisement.
Yep.
You know, that's a possibility. But if you're going through difficulty or hardship, if you're going through circumstances, if you're going through grief, it's not that you have to understand why. You simply have to trust the Lord that he will bring you through, that he will see you through to the end, that he is faithful, that he will always give you what you need to sustain you in your journey.
Amen.
Our call is to be strong in the Lord, no matter what we face. Be strong in the Lord, verse 10, and in the power of his might. There's a reason he tells us this. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. The reason is because weak Christians just might not make it.
Amen. Come on now.
Why? Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. His point is the weak, the immature, they just might not make it through.
Amen. You're right.
Look, you have to make it through verse 13, the evil day. You have to take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. We're talking about onslaughts here. Withstand in the evil day. What is the evil day? The day of adversity, the day of trial, the day of battle. That's what it means. He uses this illustration of soldiers going to war. It's a very apt illustration.
Amen.
The evil day, the day of war, the day of conflict. You do a lot of preparation as a soldier.
Right.
There's a lot of equipment to learn to use. There's a lot of rehearsal, a lot of marching and drilling, and it's all not for nothing. Why do you think it's important for me to learn how to march in line and your left and right? And why is that so important? So you learn to obey orders instantly. Instantly, without question. Why turn left? Why can't I go? No. Instant obedience. So that on the battlefield, if you're told to attack, you don't say, ah, those guys have machine guns pointing right this way. It's to instill instant obedience, cohesion. In the evil day, the day of trial and adversity, obviously, it's a day that washes many away. But some, he says, who are strong in the Lord will be able to withstand in the evil day. Isn't the implication that some won't?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
If everybody automatically stands in the evil day, why the whole exhortation? Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. To put on the whole armor of God. So that you may be able to withstand, overcome in the evil day. Not only that, but if you'll look down one more verse or two, he talks about, well, I tell you what, look with me, verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we have to withstand in the evil day, but we also have to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word means deceits or trickery. The wiles, the trickery of the devil, the tricks of the devil, the schemes of the devil. Pretty important, huh?
Amen.
I mean, twice here. Verse 11, verse 13, twice he tells us we have to put on this whole armor of God. Take unto us this whole armor of God. So it's important that we're completely armored and equipped and not just partially armored and equipped. Some of you are eager to go home and watch the Saints play. Can I tell you that they're not going to let this guy get out there on the field without a helmet and play? He's going to need all of that. He's going to need those shoulder pads and those pads on his legs. And he is going to need that helmet. He might think he's got a big, hard head, but, you know, you start crashing into 250-pound, 300-pound men with your head, it'll pop like a balloon. And the same thing is true here, beloved.
Amen.
We have a deadly adversary who is very serious about this battle. And we have to be fully equipped.
Amen.
Fully equipped. If it's important for a football player to wear a helmet in a game, and as hard fought as it is, it's still just a game. It's a game. If you're listening, Sister Doris, it's just a game. It's not worth losing the victory over. But how much more important and essential is it for us, for you and me, to be fully equipped?
Right.
I'm going to point out just a few words here that Paul uses. I could go into great detail here, but we won't do that this morning. But I do want to point out a few very essential key words, we could say, in our equipping. This is what we need to be strong. Like he says in verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, truth is one of the key words here. Truth. Hello.
Amen.
This is what really keeps it all together. The truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. Truth is what keeps us together. It's what holds us together. Being strong in the Lord means having a good grasp of Bible truth. Nobody is strong in the Lord who does not have a good grasp of the Word of God.
Right.
It's not possible. Not possible to be strong in the Lord if you don't have a good grasp of biblical truth. Your own willpower and determination is not good enough. It's vitally important that we have a grasp of biblical truth. While we can start as spiritual children, we all do, we must grow up. We desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, that you may grow, that you grow up into spiritual manhood. Truth, truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. Father, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. God said the word of God, the Lord said the word of God is truth. Amen. Therefore, if we're going to stand, if we're going to overcome, if we're going to be strong in the Lord, we need to be strong in the truth. Strong in the truth. Believing it, of course, obeying it. I believe it's essential that every Christian has a good grasp of biblical truth, basic Christian doctrines even. The doctrine of theology proper, who God is, his great attributes, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of redemption, doctrine of the Holy Spirit, doctrine of sin, doctrine of salvation.
Amen.
Even the doctrine of the church, ecclesiology, that's what it's called, ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church, or eschatology, the doctrine of last things. We should have a good grasp of what we believe. So, well, I just believe in Jesus. Okay, good. What do you believe about Jesus? Well, I don't like doctrine, Brother Rusty. I just know that if I love God, and that's all that's important. Well, what God do you love? Because humanists say that. Skeptics say that. New Agers say that. Buddhists, Hindus say that. Well, yeah, but I believe in Christ. What do you believe about Christ? That's what I want to know. What do you believe? Well, I believe he died on a cross. Good. That's good. Was he buried? Yes, I believe he was buried. Did he rise again? Well, yeah, I think he rose again. Well, you know, it's important that you know. The doctrines of Christ, who he was he God? Was he God incarnate? God come in the flesh? You know, that's important to know. He says in John chapter 8, unless you believe that I am, unless you believe that I am, you have no life in you.
Amen.
So you might believe, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe he was a good person. I believe he was a prophet. He may in some way be the Son of God, you know, kind of like you and me are the Son of God and so on. Here's what he said. Unless you believe that I am.
Amen.
Now, you know who the I am is?
Yep.
Go back to the book of Exodus. When the Lord revealed himself to Moses, by what name did he identify himself? He said, I am. Jesus said, you have to believe that I am.
Amen.
That he is eternal with the Father. That he is God. That he is the Creator God. John 1. Colossians 3. Colossians 1. I mean, throughout the scriptures, we're told that it's Christ who created this world. Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You get to John 1, and you realize that the God who created the earth is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We do believe in a divine triunity. We believe in an eternal Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three eternal manifestations of the one God. We should have at least some grasp of basic biblical truth. If you're going to be strong in the Lord and stand against the wiles, trickeries, deceits, delusions, deceptions of the devil, obviously you have to have some basis of biblical understanding.
Amen.
Or you'll be swept away by the cults.
Right.
Swept away by the deceits.
Right.
1 John 4:1, the Bible talks about those who will not stand in the last day. They'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines taught by demons.
Amen.
We live in a day of multiplying deception. Multiplying deceptions, and multiplying so rapidly you can't even keep up with them anymore. Unfortunately, it's no longer outside of the church that the deceptions are multiplying, but right within the confines of Christianity. Deceptions springing up all over again. New denials of biblical doctrine. Denial of hell. Denial of the virgin birth. Denial of the literal resurrection of Christ. It's amazing what people no longer proclaim or believe.
Amen.
And behind it all, these doctrines that demons teach, 1 Timothy 4:1, behind these doctrines is a demon. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers who are very, very active. Very active. And one of the things they're doing very successfully today is polluting Christianity. Amen. Polluting it with pagan thought, with heathen beliefs. One of the fastest growing things right now in American Christianity is a denial of hell. That's spreading like wildfire. More and more Christians now denying hell, doubting hell, using their own human reasoning to rationalize it away. You know, if you are rooted and grounded in the truth, remember, if you're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, you have to put on, you have to be girded up with this truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth. And what will the truth do? The truth will make you free. It will make you free. But you know, just hearing it alone doesn't necessarily liberate you. If in hearing it, you don't adhere to it. If you don't grasp it, if you don't embrace it, if you don't incorporate it into your life, because let me give you a good example. The devil knows the truth. And he's still the devil. He knows the Bible is the Word of God. That's why he expends so much energy to discredit it. He knows who Christ is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The demons admitted it. But he is busy at work to deny it through the mouths and hearts and writings and preachings of so many men. Right. Yeah, he knows the truth, but it hadn't set him free any. Because he doesn't embrace the truth or love the truth. He hates the truth.
You're right.
Ah, what's our attitude towards the truth? What is our attitude towards it? You want to be strong in the Lord? I mean, really. It's going to take strength in these last days. Not in ourselves. We're not going to overcome in our own strength.
Amen.
Not with the delusions that are about to be unleashed upon planet Earth.
Right.
Look, the Bible's very clear in this also. The Bible talks about those in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Those, he speaks about him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders.
Amen.
With all power and signs and lying wonders. With
all
power and signs and lying wonders and all deceivableness and of unrighteousness of them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth.
Amen.
They receive not the love of the truth. They don't love the truth. And he says, for this cause God will send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. One of the most powerful passages in all of Scripture. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free if you embrace the truth,
Amen.
Love the truth, grasp the truth, and refuse to let go of the truth. That's why Proverbs says, buy the truth and sell it not. It's a prize to be kept, to be treasured, to be valued, not to be rid of.
Amen.
You want to be strong in the Lord? Be strong in God's truth. The truth of His Word.
Yes.
Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life.
Yes. Well,
be strong in the truth. Be strong in Christ.
Amen.
Who is the truth? Who brings us truth? Who is the dispenser of all truth?
Amen.
Everything He said is truth. His example is truth.
That's right.
Everything we believe, we must measure by what He said, by His example, by what the Word of God said. Everything we believe, you bring it in line. You see if it lines up with the truth of God's Word. And if it doesn't, you stay with God's Word.
Amen.
And it's only in that way that the truth will make you free. It'll make you free of the traditions of man-made religion. It'll free you, liberate you from manology.
Yes.
Amen.
It will liberate you from all these false concepts, notions, ideas, pagan thought, heathen values, you'll know the truth. You'll prize the truth. You'll recognize what matters. You'll recognize what is valuable in this life. You'll recognize real purpose in life, why I'm really here.
Amen.
You proclaim it. You defend it. You believe it.
Amen.
Of course, we have to obey it.
Right.
Well, praise God. I've got several other things I wanted to point out this morning, but it's going to just have to wait. We'll pick up here next time, but I do believe that this is a really important study, that the call for us is to be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
And in the power of His might, not in our own might or strength, but in His might.
Amen.
And take these passages, mull over them, contemplate them, pray over them, and come ready, because next week we're going to jump right in these waters again.
Amen.
Father, I pray this morning that you will encourage us, one and all. Encourage us, Lord Jesus, to be men and women who are strong in the Lord. Strong, Lord, in the power of your might. Not strong in ourselves, not simply headstrong or bullheaded or stubborn, but strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Help us to recognize, Lord Jesus, we cannot stand in the evil day in our own power. And we cannot stand against the wiles of the devil in our own knowledge or strength. But Lord, it's in you that we are strong, and only in you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to walk close to you each day, every day. And deliver us, one and all, from spiritual apathy and neglect. We pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Let's stand.